Let's bow together. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the blessings that you bestowed upon us in our lives. We know, Father, that you have made possible everything that we enjoy. And even, Father, when times come that we do not enjoy, we know that you are with us and that you will watch over us and love us and help us through. We thank you, Father, for the time that we can gather together to talk about teaching your word. And we pray that we may love it. We pray that we may recognize that without it, we could not know thee. For while the heavens declare your glory, it is your word and your Son by which you have been revealed to us in a personal way. May we love you above all things. Put you first in our lives and serve you until time shall be no more and then be with you forever. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we started looking at some specific tools that the teacher needs, and we spent a great deal of time talking about Bibles, Bible translations, and the Bibles that you would need. And today we're going to talk about, at least begin there, about computer programs. The handout last week was a list of free internet sites that you can go to and find resources that you can use. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but let me begin by talking about some specific computer programs that you can buy and that you can have on your computer and have access to without having to go to sites on the internet and go through all of those procedures. I'm going to start with one that I have that I probably use less than any of my other programs. But there's a reason for that. Well, several reasons. But one of them is that it is good only on a PC. And I'm primarily a Mac man. And I have to get up and go somewhere and get my one little PC that I have to have because I've got some things that won't work on the Mac. Our own parallels on the Mac, and pull it up and see what I want out of it. But it is a very nice program if you are just strictly on PC. And let me just hand this to you, and y'all can just pass it down because this is the only one I've got. It's called BibleWorks 9, and it's a computer program that will presently cost you $359, and everything that you see listed there comes with it. You don't buy anymore. I mean, that's the limit of what you can get on that program. One thing that's very attractive about it is that it has some of the ancient and some of the really fine ancient manuscripts, Vaticanus, I've gone blank. Sinaitic and Alexandrinus. Those are the three. And those are three very fine ancient texts and the oldest text that we really have with some body to it. We have a lot of papyri that go back further. For instance, one that goes back, I think it's papyri 52. Goes back to the end of the first or the beginning of the second century. And it has a part of John's writing on it. And so that tells us that that book was in existence at least at that time. But BibleWorks is a good program. My view is it's not as user-friendly as others I'm going to talk about, but it can give you a lot of good information, particularly in working with the languages and finding, using it sort of as a concordance and finding out where it's used, how many times it's used, and things of that nature. It's really, in my view, almost bereft of a lot of sources to use in preparing the body of a lesson. Like I say, it was only made for PCs, but if you have a Mac, I can use it on my Mac because I've got Parallels, which helps you use PC programs on a Macintosh computer. But that program is, Parallels is not really all that good, and it sometimes causes problems on my computer. When I call my computer expert and tell him I've got a problem that he needs to solve, and he's sitting right here, the first question he always asks me is, do you have Parallels on? And if it's on, sometimes that is the source of the problem. But let's talk about some other programs that I think are better. They're also more expensive, but I think they are better. Let's talk first about accordance. We'll strike that. Let's just do it in the order we have in the handout here, because this shows you what those programs look like. And the first page, if you'll look at that, is the home page of Logos. Logos is designed for both Mac and PC, so you can get the Logos program on either one. And I've got it on both. I put it on my PC, but I use it mostly, as I say, on my Mac. If you look at this first sheet, that's the home page. That's what comes up first. And let me warn you in advance that while it purports to be something that gives you some good thoughts for the day, it's basically a sales program. And it will tell you, you know, what you need and what you ought to get. Has here book of the day and things like that. Shows you, for instance, some of the graphics that you can get, Bible images, and there are 1,000 of them in that book, and there are more of them on the program. A lot of maps and things that will come up in the graphics. If you look up at the top left-hand corner, you'll see 3 icons, and they're identified what they are for you. One is the home page. If you're off somewhere and you want to go back and look at the home page, just click that little house and the home page you will go. The second one is your library. If you want to just look at a list of what is in your library, click that, and they will all come up in a new pane. Now, the way it works is that you've got to stay there or it disappears, and you'll have to go back and click the library icon again to get it back up there. But if you find a book, if you're looking for a specific book, it's got a search capability just in your resources there, your library. And if you find the one you want, then you can right-click on it, and you can open it in the windows that you have open, and it will just come up and replace something. Or you can open it in a floating window, they call it, so that it's just off from what you're working with there, and you can have them both up. So it has a lot of features that way that will be helpful to you. The other is a search. And if you click on that, it will come up and it will say something like search all text for. And you can type something there and it will go through every text that you have and try and find that word or something that is part of that word. Like if you run teach, it'll do teaching, teached, and everything that has T-E-A-C-H in it. And then you can look and see what, if anything, there you want to look further at, and then you just keep clicking until you get to where you want to be. But it's got some very strong and fast search engines, and it can go through a lot very quickly. I now have on mine 2,253 resources, and it doesn't take them long to go through that and tell me everywhere and everything, every encyclopedia, every dictionary, every Bible, everything, where that word may turn up. If you notice on your home page, you've got two red arrows there on the left. One goes up to a line that says command. You've got three commands that will also be up at the top in the menu up at the very top of the page when this is up. Right now, you can see up there, Snagit is up, but that's what I took this picture with and put it on here. But the commands are, there's a passage command, there is a search command, which you get through the menu or through the icon up here. And there's an exegetical command that is basically a Bible. He also has a Bible word study command. So that tells you a lot of different things it can do. If you really want to look at a passage of Scripture, then you can look at the one down here that says go, the shorter arrow going to the left. And I put in John 3:16. And if you will turn to page 2, you will see what came up with John 3:16. First, you see up at the top, you got two of the commands that came up. One, the first one is a passage guide. The second is an exegetical guide. And you can click back and forth between those tabs. The exegetical guide basically helps you with the language. And the passage guide helps you with the passage. If you see the first line there, there's a little red arrow that goes from John 3:16. That's the passage we typed in, as you can see above there. And now that's the passage here that's being searched on. And right below that are commentaries. Now you see there are five commentaries there, six, I believe, that are there. And then there's an arrow that points to the word more. And I'll show you what that does here in just a moment. The reason it comes up with limited commentaries is because it thinks, well, maybe they don't want to go through every commentary that's in the whole program that we've got here. And as of right now, I think I have 53 commentaries that came up on John 3:16. And you can arrange what comes up first, because there's a procedure by which you can prioritize. And I prioritized, and you can see the first two are the interpretation of St. John's Gospel. That's Linsky's commentary on John. I've got, I don't believe I brought a Linsky. That's a crying shame. But that was my first one. The New American Commentaries, one I've mentioned before. That's number two. The Word Biblical Commentary, I've mentioned before, is number three. Pulpit Commentary is number four. Notes on the New Testament, Luke and John. And that is Barnes Notes. Is the author of that. And Holman is the company that published New Testament Commentary on John. I think it's the first one that came up after the ones that I had prioritized. But you can limit the number that you get, at least to begin with. My content, I had not made any notes or anything, or made any content for here, so it's blank. Then you've got a window that shows the cross references. The window below that, parallel passages. And then it goes way on down. There are a number of categories. I'll show you those in a minute. In the middle column on the top, My chosen Bible is the American Standard, and that's what always comes up in that window. But if you look to the right of it, I'm not sure I can read that from here, but there's the English Standard. There's the NIV 1984, which is not the latest. There is the King James Version and the New King James Version. And you can click on that and go from Bible to Bible and compare it. If you want to compare it faster, go to the bottom window on the right. And it says text comparison. And you see it's got those Bibles I just called out right there. And you can read John 3:16 as it's translated in all five of those translations. Lower window in the middle, you see it begins with the interpretation of John's Gospel. That's Linsky's commentary. That's the first one by priority, and so that's the one that opens up in this window. Up at the top there is information, and what that does is it defines words for you. If you look over in the top window in the middle, you'll notice that "for God so loved the world," etc., is highlighted. Now, the program didn't do that. I did that with the program that I was working with when I put this together. But just to highlight it and show you the word "perish," which is the next to last word on the second line. Now, you can fix this where it works either when you just float over it or you got to click on it. And I had to do it where you click on it, though I usually have it the other way, because it wouldn't stay still long enough for "perish" to come up in that right-hand column. But when you click on it, it stays that way until you click on another word. And so there you have a definition of "perish." If you look down at the bottom there in blue, you see COED. Well, what does that stand for? I can tell you exactly. It stands for, if I could read it,
Concise Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah, Concise Oxford English Dictionary. I'm glad somebody in this room can read. But see the arrow going over to it? That's what it stands for. And if you click there, it will open up that dictionary, and it will give you the full definition of the word. And if you click there, it'll come up. It did come up. I went back and clicked again on the interpretation of John's Gospel. All right, let's look at the page number 3. I clicked on "more" under commentaries. And in the left with the right, with the red line down it, you can see all the commentaries that could appear. There are more below that. But there's a bunch, it brings up everything that can be considered a commentary, such as study Bibles. Because a study Bible, by definition, has comments and is a commentary on the Scripture. And when you're using study Bibles, you ought always to remember that. Because you've got to be careful with that, just like you've got to be careful with anything else. And the rest of this is pretty much the same. Now, Logos is not inexpensive. But with Logos, like Christian discount books, you can save money. They've got several pricing procedures at different times. It starts with community pricing. Now, these books in community pricing are basically books that, for the most part, don't have any copyright or trademark or anything like that to be a problem. They're in the public domain. Anybody can copy them. They make theirs, or they want to make it. And so they say, "Hey, we want to get the money to make this available to you before we ever make it available." And so they have what they call community pricing. And you can go and look at what is listed in community pricing. I think there are about 80-something books or items listed in it right now. And if you see something you like, you can go to the details and you can see, okay, the bid on this right now is $30. And I can bid, that's the highest bid, and I can bid $30 on it. And if that holds, I'll get it for $30. You don't risk anything. If you come out lower than the bid that wins, you don't get it, but you don't pay anything. If you bid $100 and it comes out at $30, you get it at $30, even if you bid a whole lot higher. And that is good because you can get some good things and save a lot of money. For instance, not long ago, I got the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, which is now on Prepub. I'll talk about that next. For $199.95, 57 volumes, I got it for $50. So that's a pretty good saving, and it's an old commentary, and the older, the more conservative as a general rule. The retail, they have it listed at $1,050, which they're trying to make you believe that's going to be the price when Prepub is ended. But I don't think it'll ever sell for that much. I don't think they'll ever ask that much. But I'm confident that its final price is going to be way more than $50, and it's going to be substantially more than $199.95. After the bid is made and is ended, it goes to Prepub because they got the money now to publish it, so they go take it, get a contract on it so they can publish it. And during that period of time, they say, okay, you don't get as good a break as in community pricing, but we'll still give you a break if you buy it now in Prepub. And that's why it went from $50 to $199.95. One thing about community pricing, by the way, is that once it goes over the top, they give you a 2-week period to buy it at the community pricing price. And if you are a part of their program, you will get an email that says it's reached the top, it's ready to go to Prepub, and bidding will end, and they give you 2 weeks from the time that email goes out. So you can go back and look at it. And a lot of times I've looked at stuff and said, I'm not going to buy that. And then I get that email, and it's cheap and don't have much to lose, and it might come in handy sometime. So I go and click it and add it to my library. But it's a good way to do things. They have packages that you can buy that give you a lot more for your money. The largest package is given a print equivalent of $31,000. Now, like I told you not to take those retail prices too seriously a while ago, don't take this one too seriously either. But this package, and most, if not all of the others, contain material that you will never use. Out of my 2,253 resources, I've got a number that I will never use. For instance, there is in there something that talks about the Ugaritic text. Well, I looked it up, so I figured out what it was. But I don't know Ugaritic. I haven't studied Ugaritic. I don't have any books on Ugaritic. And it'd just be stupid for me to get that one, whatever the price. And there are things like that in most of them. But that doesn't mean that it's still not best to get a package. The one that I think probably is the best level for most folks is the Scholar's Silver Package. It's not cheap. $995. And let's not forget the 95 cents. But comparing it with the one immediately below it, which is the Scholar's Library, which cost $629.95. I think the Scholar's Silver Package is still a better deal, if for no other reason, because it has in it both the pulpit commentary and the New American commentary. Now, the pulpit commentary is now at its lowest price of $179, and the latter, the New American commentary, is priced at $500. Well, you put those two alone together, and they cost more than the Scholar's Package does. And so for just a little bit more, you're getting both of those commentaries, and those are two of the better commentaries. The pulpit commentary is an old one. I'll show you that here in a minute. The New American is a newer one, and one of the better newer ones. It is one of the more conservative commentaries. There are others available, but I think the most useful for the money will be the ones that I've mentioned to you. I've given you a list of free internet programs that you can go to, and the three that out of all of those that I found most helpful were eSword.net, SwordSearch.com, and CCEL.org. The one that is small down at the bottom, I told you last Sunday, I haven't had time to really look at and study, but my initial reaction to it is that it is a very good source. And on some of these, I think the last one I mentioned, and I believe it's CCEL, you can go and use resources without buying them. Some of them make you buy a program before you can do that. The other program that I would recommend you look at is Accordance. And for that one, just go to the last page. Again, you've got some arrows here. Let's start at the extreme left, and you see a wider list there that says library window. If you look up at the top there, in the green portion, you'll see the menu, and one of the choices next to the last is window. And if you want to see all of the books you have in your library, you go and you click on window, come down, and click on library window, and it will list all of those outside of where the program is working. On the far right, you'll see a resource palette, which you also pull up the same way through a window on the menu. And you see, for instance, in the yellow, that's Hebrew. In the second yellow group, Greek, in the top yellow group. If you have Greek text, they'll be up at the top there, Hebrew down there, English down below, and tools. Again, you have Greek, Hebrew, and English. Come on down, you have background information such as maps and things of that kind that you can make on Accordance. You have a special place where you can create your own things, and you have search engines down below that you create. In the yellow star, I have a program that I can click on that, and it comes up automatically, and that is a comparison of the Greek and the Hebrew. The Greek and the English. And here, for instance, if you look at the program now, you'll see I have the English Standard Version with Strong's up at the top in that tab. And for this, you've got to have a Bible that is connected to Strong's. And there are two of them in my resources, the English Standard and the King James. There are others, I think, that are available, but I haven't messed with those. But Strong's is how you get to the Greek. Teaching, is the word. You can see the arrow going to teaching there and then coming down. You can see the verses start with Matthew 4:23 and go on down the way, and every one of those verses uses the word teaching. And you can see here just above, or let me say below the white square where teaching is, it tells me how many I've got, how many hits, and how many verses. 60 hits in 59 verses. If you go to the right of that, you see a little zero, no error toward that. And if you click on that and hold it and start moving it to the right, say you want to see a little more context, if you move it to a 3, you'll get Matthew 4:23, 24, 25, 26. Give you more verses to look at in addition to the verse that is the one where the hit occurred. Now, if you've got the Strong's Connected Bible up, when you scan your arrow over the words in the English, for instance, over teaching, the word in the column immediately to the right that is the Greek for teaching is also highlighted. And you can click on that 3 times, and voila, you have Greek definitions in the next column. Here it is Thayer. You notice there's a line going over to a scroll button there. And if you click on that, then all of your Greek resources will come up. And you can change which Greek source you're looking at for definition. Thayer had the fullest definition, so I just left that one there. Accordance is a good program. It, however, is a choice only for Mac users. It does not have any PC program, though somewhere in the back of my mind I seem to think they may be working on one now, but they don't have it now. Yeah, you can put it on iPad, iPhone, and I've got all of them on my iPad and my iPhone. The best choice, I think, on Accordance, if you go that route, is the Super Bundle. It includes 3 packages that separately would sell for $887, but packaged together they sell for $599. It's, I think, very strong on understanding the Greek and the Hebrew text, and it has a lot of additional sources that can be added, and always has some of them on sale. In my view, its commentary selection is not quite as good as some of the others. If you have one of these programs, you don't need nearly as many of the hardback books. Because we're going to start talking about specific books that you will need, types of books. And if you have one of these programs, you're going to have a bunch of them. For instance, dictionaries. I pull up dictionaries, and it'll pull up dictionaries and related books. I think I had 36, and I've added a bunch of resources since I figured that out. But there are a number of different kinds of dictionaries. Baker's Bible Dictionary, Eason Bible Dictionary, Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible, Holman Bible Illustrated. Here are some of the dictionaries over here. This is, I believe, Hastings Dictionary, but I couldn't find the man's name in it. It originally belonged to my father and was given to him in 1941. It's older than probably all of you than it is older than all of you. I was 5 at the time. And it's just a dictionary of the Bible here. I just opened up to S's. It ends Satan. And then on the next column is Sathrabuzanes. See, you don't know whether I pronounced that right or wrong, do you? And that's a good clue. If you don't learn anything else, learn when you're reading all those names to hit them heavy, hit them fast, pronounce them like you want to, and nobody will know the difference. They'll think you got it exactly right. Then comes Satyr, Saul, and you get a lot more discussion of Saul. Now, you think, well, hey, that's a big old book. Folks, this is volume 4. And there are 5 of them. So it is a big dictionary. It has a lot. It's an old one, but it is a classic dictionary. And so it's something that doesn't go out of date, really. And I have got it ordered on community pricing. I think the 5 are going to be $30 or something like that. But why would you do that if you've got the hardback? Because that dictionary has 5 volumes. I don't know how many pages, but I'd guess probably several thousand. Well, I know several thousand, just don't know how many thousand. This volume alone ends on page 994, so it's going to be upwards of 5,000 pages. And in those pages, what I'm looking for is going to be discussed several times. Well, if I just go to S for Satan, I've missed everything else. But if I have it on my computer, I'm going to see every time in that 5-volume dictionary where Satan is mentioned, and I'm going to see it in about 3 seconds or less. Strike that. I'm going to see where it is in that length of time. So that's one type of dictionary. Here's another dictionary called the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Now, what in the world would that be? It's a 10-volume set. Well, truth of the matter is, it's really more of a Greek lexicon. And it deals with the New Testament. But it's a very, very helpful book. And if you want to know everything that could possibly be said about a Greek word, this is where you go. To the dictionary, Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Here is a dictionary of New Testament theology, a little bit different. You open this up, it's got reference to knowledge. There's king, there's joy, rejoice, Israel, hunger. And it gives you the subject in English, but then has a full discussion of the Greek or the Hebrew as well. This is the 2nd volume. So there is a 1st volume to that. I think it's just 2 volumes. So there are a lot of different dictionaries, and every one of them is helpful to you. Now, if you've got a computer program, here's one that you really don't need. And you don't even need a hard copy of it. The best of these is Strong's Complete Concordance to the Bible. I could not find my copy of Strong's. I know I've seen it somewhere, but it's a book that doesn't get used anymore. This one is Young's. It's Analytical Concordance to the Bible. It says revised, but even so, it's an ancient book. My daddy got this one in 1942. But if you've got a Bible program on the computer, that's gone. It'll tell you everywhere it's used, everywhere any word like it is used. If it ends in ED or ING, whatever, you're going to get them all. It'll tell you where, how many, in each book, and so forth. Particularly, you get that information in the one that came around, Bible Works. But you can get it in almost any of the programs. So it's very helpful. And it may be very helpful to know where that word is used in every spot. People sometimes say, well, you know, you find out where it's used and it means the same everywhere it is. Not so, good people. Not so. Same word is used in different ways in Scripture. And you need to be able to work through that. All right. That, I think, gets us... Oh, by the way, let me mention accordance one more time. All of them have search engines. In accordance, there's one they call fuzzy search. If you're looking for words, you can just write something that's similar. And if you get it close enough, it will come up with what you're looking for. And that can be very helpful. At my age especially, things start getting fuzzy. all right, we may have a few minutes, and we've got some more. We're going to go over here next week. We'll start with commentaries and go to encyclopedias and then go to about some books that you really need, some of which you will not be able to get on the internet.